Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have a whole kit and caboodle. That's five rounds of the magazine. They're all going to be great. Round number one, with Call of Duty being the most popular game this year, I'm just kind of assuming that's got to be the case, right? Like, Call of Duty has to have overtaken Fortnite by now, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still so. Tetris, actually.
Tetris. All right, so Call of Duty is the most popular game, but this weekend I downloaded a game called Farm Simulator, and I started wondering what other jobs would you like just to goof around on? Because you could do it in the military, you could do it farmer. Somebody showed me this morning, you could also be a goat. It's called Goat Simulator, which you can play for the low price of $3.99, which is pretty incredible. Let's go on to round number two, which is in absolutely shocking news. Rosie the Riveter is still alive. Longtime Stoolie Mae Cryer is 94 and back in the news and calling on people once again to do the right thing like she is. Round number three, a huge fire on a naval ship in San Diego happened over the weekend, which resulted in injuries for up to 60 people. The numbers keep going, so we're not going to say the actual number, but it's a ton of people are getting hurt there. Not waiting for results for the investigation, a Forbes reporter decided to take a big old dump in his pants. I couldn't believe the tone of this article that we're going to talk about. It's a wild approach to have. We'll talk about it more in the actual round. But to come into an article and say, now, before all the facts are here, I've got a tick. The Navy is a piece of shit. That's basically his take in the interview. It is unbelievable. Round number four, former guest and U.S. Senator Martha McSally. Honestly, not sure which one is more prestigious, there being a former guest of the show or being a United States senator, but I digress. She made some news this week after an academic paper that she wrote resurfaced where she said, quote, women get pregnant to, and I can't believe she used this term, skirt their responsibilities in combat.
On deployment. Yeah, I personally, she's wrong. I think we do it just so we don't have to have a period for 9 months. It's like a real, it's a real break. It's a treat.
Yeah, that's like a 6 day week, right?
From what I heard. Yeah. So
no period Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's a real break. Last 1 day. We don't know. Number five, there's a Taliban dude that I want to fuck, and all that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at 3Chi. If you haven't heard of it, it is brand spanking new, some people would say. They have all kinds of stuff that is hemp-delivered cannabinoid products, and all products are formulated by a biochemist. All products are made in the USA and USA-grown hemp, and they released their new Delta 8 products, and they're first federally legal THC sold in the United States since Prohibition started almost 90 years ago. I think about that all the time, that soon weed is going to be like booze for the people that were born in like the 1910s.
You guys weren't allowed to have that? What?
We're going to be like, what the fuck? You couldn't go to a 7-Eleven and get some Bud Heavies? That's fucked up. Our kids are going to be like, what the hell? Dad, yeah. You couldn't smoke a fat dude right in your fucking platoon sergeant's face? I'll blow a motherfucker up. I'll blow some smoke right in his fucking face. I went on their website. Lovely website too, 3G has. And going through there, and they have some that have THC, some that don't. If you want to get a little bit stoned, if you don't want to get stoned, they have a little bit of everything from oils to gummies to all kinds of shit. Can't you experience their gummies?
I did. I actually tried. So they sponsor a couple other podcasts on Barstool. So
Robbie's Basement.
My mom's basement. But a few of the people at Barstool now have them at their desk and stuff. Oh, do you want to try one? And it's delightful. It's Now, remember, I smoked whatever Roan had the other day, and that was Katie Two Stone. This is not like that. This was kind of like a very mellow, perfect, good vibes. So, and it's like legit.
Katie takes a bath and watch Pretty Woman.
Yeah, it's like actually really legit good stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, I want to try it. I actually saw Robbie tweeting about it the other day, and I was like, what the hell? We've never had, for this podcast, I mean, a lot of veterans who are out now, if you're on active duty, obviously we don't recommend you doing THC products, but again, that's your own business, and whatever you fucking decide to do, that's your own decision.
You do,
but
you.
There's a lot of veterans out there who benefit from THC, so this is a good way to get it. Just go on there. You're going to have a promo code where you can get a little bit of a discount, which is going to be awesome. Right now, if you go through and you use the promo code ZERO, the letter ZERO, you're going to receive 5% off your order, which for stuff with THC in it, not too bad. You can't go to the guy in the long sleeve shirt outside and ask for 5% off. Some are saying this is a veteran's discount, a veteran podcast discount.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's legit. I have to say, you're always like, I'm always like Katie skeptical of these different things. And when you try and you're like, oh, hell yeah. Yeah, this is good stuff. So big plus. Mm-hmm.
So this one is cool too, because it's called, the website is 3chi.com, the number 3chi.com. And they have Delta 8 vapes, which I don't know what that is, gummies, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. You can take your regular old brownies, mix in some of this stuff, and you'll be going to cloud nine. I think that's a place that they say. There's meaning behind cloud nine. Do you guys know what it is?
No.
No.
I think it's sex stuff. Let's start the show. It was another weekend here. I actually had a pretty good weekend. Did a lot of DIY goofing, talking to Kyle a lot about different saws. We got a lot of stuff going on with the DIY. It's just so hot. Kate, I saw you were at the beach. Cons, you were at the golf course all weekend. We'll start with you, Kate. Very concerned about some of your social media posts that you've been having over the last couple days. Let's talk about the paper picture. What are we doing here? What's the end game of your current Twitter usage, Kate?
What do you mean?
Yeah, what are you even talking about?
Well, Kate said, and I don't want to be crass here, but Kate had one tweet over the weekend where she said that she tweeted it with her, quote, nipples.
Oh, right.
Fort Tilden in Queens, it's on the Rockaway Peninsula.
Wait, did you really not know what I was referring to, Kate?
No, because to me, tits out. I've been tits out at that beach many times. It's not a big, but, and it's also not a big stooly beach, so I feel comfortable doing it. It's a very, like, hipstery beach, whatever. But anyway, Fort Tilden is an old United States Army installation on the coast of New York City. Queens, this big peninsula that comes out and around, it kind of goes out past Coney Island, and it's really beautiful. You know me and my birds. It's a huge birding area. And a lot of this fort, there's these old army buildings and barracks and stuff that are abandoned that sometimes they put art installations in them. You just climb through different fences. There's like no cops or anything. So you're like weaving and bobbing and kind of doing that hound thing that, what is it? That Barstool guy does. He's always like going into buildings. Donnie, he's like, so I was kind of like going through fences that were locked and you climb around and you explore all over the place. And then there's this beach where you can be pretty much, it's a nude beach if you want it to be. But it's mostly a tits out beach, so it's just
no dicks out. No dicks out for the boys.
There was a lot of men in thongs, like very tiny thongs and stuff.
So
but,
I saw your Instagram post and I clicked on the Fort Dilden.
that's another fort. Yeah,
the Fort Tilden.
Folks,
link
that's
there.
What they call the bedside dresser.
And it popped up, and there were just a ton of posts with people just going tits out.
Oh, yeah, tits out. I posted one picture online and people were like, I don't see any tits. People were like zooming in to find the tits. And I was like, no shit, I'm not going to post one where women have their tits.
Well, of course. You say you're at a nude beach. People are looking for some rogue
nipple. Tit action. But I have to tell you, I'm jealous of guys. Going in the ocean with your tits out is just such a treat. Swimming around with no top on is the most freeing, lovely. But just ladies, make sure you wear sunscreen if you're not normally a tits outer, because then.
And conversely, on the other end of that spectrum, swimming in the ocean with your wiener dangling, dangerous business, because it looks like a worm.
Absolutely, yeah. If you have long nipples too, I don't recommend it. So
yeah, long nipperoons.
But it used
remember
to be
when I told you about that Reddit page that had it was long nipples.
Yes,
yeah.
That I came across, that was fun. Long nipples so Reddit.
There was a few out there. I also love this beach because people, no matter what their shape or size or orientation or back, like. Everybody is just so fucking comfortable with themselves. So you feel comfortable with yourself. You're like, well, I'm a little gross right now, but so is half the people here and they don't care. So am I. I'm fine.
It's like a nice little mental health day when you think about
it. Yeah. It's funny to me. Well, it used to be Khan's an artillery installation. Mm-hmm. So it was a missile site a while back. And there's
still is some
there's site. Still, you're right. Historic gun batteries and other military fortifications are there. And they're closed to the public, but you saw people climbing all over them, going in them, whatever. And I saw a bird that I've never seen before. It was this bright red. I'm into birding for anybody who
doesn't
know.
I thought you were going to say cockatoo.
Yeah. There was a cockatoo. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. But it was just a delight. I love that area. People don't realize that New York City, like Coney Island's kind of nut to butt jam packed and has like a Wildwood vibe, but there's so many beautiful beaches and nature areas.
Wildwood vibe.
That's a town in New Jersey.
It's like a town
in South Jersey that you really only
throw out that reference and act like the whole nation knows what that means.
It's a gruffer vibe, but there's so many miles of coastline in New York City that are just beautiful and amazing and like really lovely and peaceful. So I like at the end of the day, I kind of had the beach to myself, swimming with my tits out. It was just a treat. So anyway, great weekend.
There we go. Cons.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I played a lot of golf this weekend. I played Thursday. I was supposed to play Friday, but Tropical Storm Faye had other ideas about that. We tried to.
Was it a legit tropical storm?
Yeah, that's what they classified it as. Yes.
It was pretty fucking rainy.
And Faye, we're already on F?
I know.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you play with your tits out, Cons?
Unfortunately, I did not. I kept my shirt on the entire time.
But boring. And then
I played Saturday and then again on Sunday. So that was a very nice weekend. But then this morning, I had to go see the periodontist. For those who don't know, a periodontist is somebody who focuses on your gums. So the last time I was at the dentist a few weeks ago, they said, listen, like we can't even clean you right now because you need to go to see a periodontist. Because if we flash back to March, I was supposed to go to the dentist because I have to go to the dentist like every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, you have that classic Irish yuck mouth.
Yeah, exactly. In the simplest terms, you're absolutely right. So I missed my appointment. So then when I go a couple weeks ago to the dentist, they're like, yeah, basically you're all jacked up. You got to go see the periodontist. So I'm thinking I'm going to the periodontist today to get the scaling done, which is the super deep cleaning, which really hurts because they have to numb you up.
Oh, yeah.
It just ultimately all I had to do was an exam, but got the exam, found out that in August, first week of August, I got to do the scaling and have a wisdom tooth taken out.
Possibly.
See, what the fuck? You're like 35 years old, right?
Oh, I got all my wisdom teeth. Oh, yeah, because for the longest time, I had all the dentists, not just the Army dentists, the regular people dentists. They're like, yeah, if it's not bothering you, mostly the Army dentist, if it's not bothering you, which it never did, then you don't have to take them out. So I was like, well, why am I going to put myself through this if they're not bothering me? So I just never took them out. And now we are causing problems because I got to have it yanked out and I might have another tooth that has to come out, right? Another molar. Thank God it's all the way in the back so I won't look like a dirt bag. But then I got to just chill out for like 8 months with a big gap in the back of my gums before I can get an implant.
Can't wait for that.
Cons, yeah, this is actually a really good thing. This is our chance to go big time viral. Can I pick you up? Can I be the one who picks you up from your wisdom tooth removal?
I don't know if Cons wants to risk breaking down on the side of the road.
Shut the fuck up. Extra laughing gas. Make sure you get the extra laughing gas and let me pick you up. And maybe I'll have a camera in the corner and then I'll fuck with you.
What about we do it whenever Cons doesn't get his wisdom teeth taken out? Extra laughing gas, and he has to read the reviews like that.
Yes.
Going on, we'll do like pre-read reviews. Then he'll have to do it all fucked up. That'll be really good content.
It's a date.
But one of my friends, he's 42 years old. He recently said he had to get his wisdom taken out. I was like, you fucking teenager, stolen valor, head ass. Like, that's not something you do when you're in your 40s.
No.
Get your wisdom teeth taken. I got mine taken out at boot camp. Kate, when did you get yours taken out?
Oh, when I was in high school. And when I did, it
the
turns out...
The fact that they did that at boot camp is insane.
It is insane. I always felt so bad for the girls who had that done there because, oh my God, you get your wisdom teeth out and then you get treated like shit for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, I see all these other people getting ice cream and slushies and shit. And I was in there eating shitty mashed potatoes from a styrofoam thing. And then the next day I had to go out there and do a hump. It's stupid. Like, you can't wait until you get to your first duty station?
I was so pumped to get mine out because I was looking forward to the laughing gas because as we've well established here, I'm a piece of shit. I was like, all right, mind altering.
Getting
sweet.
Fucked up.
Yeah, and so I remember counting down and like actually laughing. Like I was like, here we go. This is a treat. Like I was super pumped. When I woke up, they gave me the payments. Turns out I was allergic. So I had
at boot camp you got laughing gas?
No.
Oh, it's like, this I just is got high Novocaine. I didn't
but
get
it turns
gas.
Out I was allergic to the medication. So I ended up all four wisdom teeth taken out. I ended up vomiting for like 2 days straight with my wisdom teeth taken. It was horrible.
Honestly, that story fits with who you are as a person, like, where you're really looking forward to something that some people have like a decent time with, and then it goes horribly wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so like, I don't want people to, like, I'm religious. I brush my teeth twice, sometimes three times a day. I try to floss every other day. I'll admit I don't floss every other day. I try to, but I don't. So I take care of my mouth. So that's why it's really annoying that this is going on. But that's also why I get so gosh darn angry at you, Catherine.
Whoa, fired
that
up.
That you're just like, oh, I just don't brush my teeth and I'm cool. I don't brush my teeth. Whoa, look at me. I'm keen. I don't brush my teeth. Brush your teeth.
I haven't been to a dentist since 2013, 2014.
That's not okay.
And that was the hostel dentist.
That was the hostel dentist with the blood on the wall. So yeah.
Oh my God.
Who, when she gave me the Novocaine for whatever she was supposed to be doing, my whole eyeball shut. And my whole eye went numb. I was like, uh-oh.
Just a casual Bell's palsy goofing.
Yep.
No, but in case defense.
She the worst half my fucking face, yes.
Yeah.
The worst part about going to the dentist, for me at least, is I don't want to get yelled at or told something's wrong. Because who likes to get told that they're doing something wrong or there's something's wrong with them? So it was just like anxiety all morning. I woke up at like 5:30 a.m. because I couldn't sleep because I was riddled with anxiety about going to the dentist. And here I am, a grown-ass adult, being afraid of getting yelled at still.
Let me ask you guys a question. Whenever you go to a certain doctor, who's required to have more perfect? A dentist with perfect teeth or a plastic surgeon with absolutely perfect tits?
I'm going to say dentist.
I would say gynecologist. I don't want to go hop in the stirrups and hear, yikes, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But what about the gynecologist who are male?
Especially. Yeah.
I think you got to add one.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay.
I think that should be part of it, where you have like, you know how they do like mice and they'll grow an ear on a mouse.
Yes.
I think they
Is this going?
Well, just grow like have a mouse grow like a large human labia, and you have to like surgically implant it onto your arm.
What? Why? Okay. What? For what?
Just so you know.
How was your weekend, chaps?
That was pretty good. So it's really hot here, and there's a noise that my body has made that never made before, and that's when I was lying down. So I had to rebuild my steps three separate times. Mm. I built it the first time, and the steps were too shallow. Wifey came outside. I was very proud of what I had done because it looked all even and everything looked normal and level and everything. She came outside, took a step down. She's like, it looks good, but the steps need to be wider. So I had to take all the screws out, everything out, rebuild it, go to Lowe's, get this huge lumber that's 2x12x12. It's super heavy. Carrying that, loading it up. It's 100 degrees outside. I get home. I start doing that again. My shirt goes from being blue or gray to like dark gray, completely covered in sweat in like an hour. And I lay down on my side to take out the screws, and it sounded like legit a sponge was being wrung out from underneath me. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we had a concern in the house that Sprinkle Dinkles had been pissing places. And we came in and we were like, oh, it smells like piss in here. Turns out it was just my clothes sitting in the laundry because it was so stinky that my sweat smelled like cat piss. I don't know what I've been eating, but I got to stop.
There you go.
Work on that.
That was my weekend. And then Sunday I woke up because I've been doing DIY goofing. Basically every day I'm off, I've been doing that stuff. And I woke up yesterday and I was like, fuck, man, I really don't want to do this, but I got to. And then it hit me. It's like, no, I don't.
No, you don't. You have to do it.
Nobody's
have to do
forcing
anything.
Me to do this.
It's a free
I'm just
country,
not
going to
do it today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. So I didn't do it yesterday. Took the day off, just sat in my office, watched The Town on my projector screen, watched a little bit of Hamilton, watched some This Old House, just hung out with the fam, took it easy, built a boat with McCartney. I got McCartney this little pirate ship from Lowe's that you put together. So they had their hammer. We're putting like all the different stuff together. That was really fun. They want to continue doing that, so we're gonna do a birdhouse next, which is gonna be super sweet.
That I think that's cool to learn how to use tools, because I don't think there's any sort of textbook you can put in front of somebody. The only way to learn how to use tools is to actually just do it. So I think that's a very
shit
cool
I'm
thing.
Exhibit A on that. Yeah. I didn't know how to do any of that stuff, and now I feel like I'm getting a decent handle on most of these tools, which is shocking to me every time I think about what I'm actually been able to do.
One last thing with golf in mind. I'm always taken aback, shocked. I don't know, not in a bad way, but I'm always surprised when we learn new things about our coworkers. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Trista played a round of golf yesterday, and she posted her scorecard. Do you know what she shot?
Like a 73?
I don't believe this for a second.
What?
Apparently she shot a 76, I think.
Well, yeah,
which is a very good score. She also said she
hadn't played in like 2 months ago. She said she hadn't played in like 2 years. You don't just go out and shoot a fucking 75 after not playing.
She is crazy disciplined and crazy athletic. She is like an athlete's athlete. And she got her start caddying when she was like very young. She's been around the golf scene for a long, long time. So I believe it.
75 when you haven't played for 2 years is fucking ridiculous. Right.
Trista Chaps is calling you an integrity violator. So
I am. I am.
All right.
I mean, don't you think, Hans? I mean, you don't play for 2 years, you go out and shoot 75.
I mean, well, I'd have to know like what kind of golfer she was before that, because if she was a lights out
even
golfer
if you're scratch,
that,
I mean, if you don't play for 2 years,
sounds like a jealous man.
I mean, I do sound like a hater, and I honestly had a debate within myself if I was going to say something, but I think I got to. I think that I owe it to the listeners to hold everybody to account, even if they don't want to be held to account. No way, 76 after not playing for 2 years.
Also, Trista is one of our coworkers, for those who don't know. She's normally not in the ZBT world, but...
Let's do some ZBT stuff. We'll get going with the actual rounds of the show. Because this weekend, one of the other things that I did yesterday was play Farm Simulator. There's this game. I started with the cheap boy version that was on PlayStation Now, and it was a farm version of the show, or not simulator, but some other stupid version that I downloaded originally to stream. So in this game, it's really relaxing. Like, you start off, and it's like, you know, open source music on YouTube, where it doesn't have any type of singer or anything like that, and you could use it for free whenever you want to. You don't have to pay copyrights, or you can post it and you're not going to get in trouble, unlike basically everything else. If you put like a future track and your kids are playing a tuba and dancing and dabbing whenever they're playing it, like my kids were with Mask Off, then you get a strike against you for a copyright violation on Instagram. Not the case with this music, real Western style music. You get in there, the first thing you do, they're like, you need to mosey on up to the tractor, find the tractor. And they'll have this little map. And it's like, and you just walk up to the tractor, you get into the tractor, then you got to hook the tractor up to the plow. And then this farmer guy comes out and he's like, hey, I'll give you some money if you go plow that field. We'll see what you got going on. So then you got to find this field and drive over to the field and you plow it. You got to figure out how to get all the tiller down and do all this stuff. And it's just really relaxing. I mean, there's nothing, you can't hurry up, you can't run. You just go with the pace of the tractor and you make this little path with the tractor. And I thought, our guy Tanner in Wisconsin that calls in the Chaps and Kate show, I wonder what they think that there's like a game where you can simulate being a farmer. And then it hit me like, oh, they do that with military stuff.
Right.
Like Call of Duty and all kinds of games. What else would be great to do it? And I thought, my initial thought was, we talked about it, brain surgery. Like, if I could go in and it was legit, it's like somebody's got a tumor in their brain. You got to take it out with these joysticks. I would love to do that.
So you want a video game of the game Operation?
I want a video game called Jobs, and you can do whatever you want. Like, one day you can go be a veterinarian. One day you can go be like a line worker on a construction crew. One day you could be a stripper. One day you could be a porn star. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do. You just got to pick out what you want to do that day. And you could even do it random. Like, you can go in there where you don't have to pick. Because imagine, if there's like 5,000 jobs and you got to pick which one, that's like going through Netflix trying to find a new TV show. You spend more time looking for the actual show than you do playing the game.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think what the farm simulator is not going to convey is how difficult it is actually being a farmer.
You should have to start the game at 4 a.m. every day.
Well, it's time-based, kind of like Animal Crossing is, where if you don't get up and you don't start playing at like 6 or 7, they'll be like, oh, getting a late start today, I see. It's like, whoa, don't be fucking judging me, dude.
That's our guy Zah at work. He does the train conductor. He does the fisherman. He does airplane person. Yeah, you can find simulators for pretty much everything now.
That's pretty cool. So I was thinking about this, and you're like, all right, what would I enjoy doing? I would like a more realistic, updated version of Paperboy. Because I loved Paperboy growing up on Nintendo.
That was such a good game, yes.
What a great game that was. So, but now, like, give me, like, an actual simulator where I go sit on a bike and I can get in there and actually have to, like, throw things and
what about
run away from dogs.
Cons? Same concept as Paperboy, but it's multiplayer game. I'm driving the garbage truck. You guys are on the back and just throwing shit into the truck. And okay. If you throw something in the regular compost, like the regular trash, and it's recyclable, you get points taken off. So Kate's like in a hurry, get everything on there. Like, oh, Kate threw away batteries. She threw away batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you also, and just going
back
to
you guys love that idea.
Yes, I do. That's fun. But just growing up, when you're little, you just kind of don't understand how the world works yet when you're like five, whatever. Yeah. I remember thinking, man, you know what? When I grow up, I want to work at a gas station because those dudes always had the hugest wad of cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, they got it figured out, man. All they do is like push this little hose a few hundred times a day and they make all this money. Not realizing that I didn't, you know, get it, that wasn't actually their money they got to keep. But still. Like a pretty desirable thing.
They should do it. The gasoline smell. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that, and they should also at football games and baseball games. What if they changed it because they don't want the legal responsibility for the people who are working at the station or at the stadiums? They switched it and allowed you to almost perform like a military soda mess type of vendor where you get to go in, you get to bring whatever snacks you want, have it all on your person, and you get to sell it, and whatever you make, you make.
Okay, I like that.
Like, say I come up to the game, we're going to the game, and I just have like a belt full of Costco snacks.
Mm-hmm. And just see how much you can hustle.
Yeah, or like I figure out a way to do portable microwave where I can warm up some edamame for you while you're watching the baseball game.
Okay.
I like it.
Now, let me ask you all a question, and Kyle, I would like your answer on this as well. When, Chaps, in the beginning, you talked about how there are games like Call of Duty where it can simulate being in the military. But do you get perturbed when people who play Call of Duty so much that they think they know kind of what it's like being in the military and they use all the jargon and the lingo and they don't realize all the other baloney that we have to deal with? Do you guys get perturbed by that?
Yeah, but that's not sexy. Like if you start Call of Duty and the first thing you have to do is buff the decks, nobody wants to play that shit.
Well, there's that great Onion video from The Onion where it's like the Call of Duty 4. And it's just a guy, you just wait in the desert for like 6 months and you wait for your mom to send you a pair of socks and then you get yelled at for not cleaning something good enough and then that's it. It's like, that's, yeah.
Or if like the first 45 minutes of the game is you just standing in formation waiting for a haircut.
Yeah. And there's one part of it too where like you get to sit in a smoke pit and complain with your buddies or something like that. Like that's the highlight of it, I think. So,
but it would be pretty cool like if you had that part where you're standing in formation and if you don't, because you know like in some games, like there's a, I think in Call of Duty, like when you're jumping off the train to go kill somebody and you have to keep like the left and right thumbs like in the same little area. If you did that, but you're standing in formation and then you don't keep them straight, then you pass out in formation. Like where you lock your knees. It's like, oh, you're locking your knees. Don't lock your knees. And then you lock your knees and you fall out. And then one of your buddies has to come and rescue you and drag you out of the formation before you get yelled at.
Okay. All right. Kate, could you really just quickly before we move on to the next round, because this is a little ridiculous at this point. Can you just read your note here about what you want, what game you want?
Oh, like an I Love Lucy style conveyor belt game. Where, because I only play, I never made it past basic Nintendo. Give me a controller with two buttons on it. You either grab it or you don't, or you this or you that. And when I first dropped out of college before I joined the Marines, there's a Pepperidge Farm cookie factory in like next to my town. And my parents were like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, well, I just applied to the cookie factory. So I'm going to be a factory worker, like whatever. Now there's any shame in it. But yeah, there I always liked the way, I always smelled good driving by. I thought I can put Milanos in a bag.
I can see you being one of the ladies who shells peanuts in Willy Wonka.
Absolutely.
Down there just looking for it. Mm-hmm. They're doing 5,000 a day, sweetheart. I can't push them any harder.
Mm-hmm. Give me a song. Give me like headphones and I can do anything for days and weeks and years.
Like that. Did you see that fella? Could you do the same thing that fella did this weekend? Did you see the viral clip of that guy that was going after the water jugs? They had like the 5 gallon water jugs. That's the strongest man who ever lived.
Dude, he was making those look like they were just 2.5 pound plates. It was unbelievable. What ease.
I wonder if it's going to come back and it's going to be kind of like the Fire Bunny where it's racist, where that guy is going to come back and those jugs are going to be empty.
Racist?
Like they're empty jugs.
I hope not.
Because how can you throw those around? And for that long, not getting winded?
I guess he's just conditioned.
That should be the new APFT.
Yeah. He's just very conditioned to be able to do that very well.
Yeah. Let's move on. We've stayed there long enough. So
you're
round number
maybe
two.
A little too long.
Yeah.
Round number two. What do we got, Kate?
So at age 94, May Cryer is back on the front lines, hard at work, helping her country one of the nation's original Rosie the Riveters, employed by Boeing in Seattle during World War II. She built B-17 and B-29 bombers to help support the war effort decades ago. Now she's fighting a different war as her nimble fingers turn out face masks to prevent the spread of the deadly coronavirus. People say to me, you helped win World War II, and now you're helping our country win this battle over the virus. These are nice things to hear, she said. She makes the masks like red polka dot bananas. Oh, bandanas. I was picturing red polka dot banana bandanas.
Oh, Dr. Seuss seemed head-ass bananas. Perfect.
Yes, I love that. But she
old
makes
Horton hairs a who head-ass bananas.
She does the red polka dot bandana masks to remind people of the Rosies, those women who toiled in manufacturing plants with their heads wrapped in bandanas so their hair wouldn't get tangled in machinery while they made supplies for military overseas. They were depicted by a famous World War II era poster of Rosie the Riveter in 1943. We all know that one. She said, it kept me from getting bored. I've got to be careful. My only exercise I'm getting is my trip to the refrigerator, she quipped. And she still gets out her riding mower to cut the grass. I love this woman. The face masks, like the bandanas, are helping her advertise the cause for the original Rosies to receive the gold medal. Many, like Cryer, are in their 90s, and their numbers are dwindling. The Congressional Gold Medal is kind of like the Presidential Freedom Medal, kind of one of those things. It's awarded usually to civilians, but it's also been awarded to whole groups. And I think there's only been about 200 or so awarded throughout history. So I'm really hoping. I think the first part of it passed, so I'm pretty sure it's going to get put through.
Yeah, it's passed through the House, and it's going to pass through the Senate, because she actually, the story goes on to say, this isn't just something that I know. The story goes on to say that she went to the 75th anniversary of D-Day recently and sat by Nancy Pelosi, and she told Nancy Pelosi about her story and how things are going on. Soon thereafter, it was passed in the House. It's waiting for the Senate. It needs 60 co-sponsors. Right now, it has 29, which I think doing things like this really pulled it off. And I don't want to move on from the story before we talk about how fire polka dots are. Do you guys agree?
Oh, yeah.
Just the pattern in general?
Yeah, I love polka dots. I wish polka dots would come back. Polka dot, like, golf polos, unbelievably cool.
Yeah,
I love polka dots. I think
they actually are making a somewhat of a comeback in men's button-down shirts. Kind of little, they call them micro dots. But yeah, it's basically, it's a polka dot. So I agree with you, Chaps. In the right setting, I agree that they do look good.
I'm glad we could find that common ground. Rosie the Riveter. But being able to go through, when I went to Hawaii last summer, I went to the World War II memorial there. They actually have an army one that's on right near where the military hotel is. Malekoa, I think it's what it's Halekoa. And so you go in there, and one of the big displays they have is Rosie the Riveter. And thinking back to being 94 years old and being some part of something that's really iconic would be such a cool experience at 94 to know that people still appreciate what you did based on this iconic image. Even though they might not know the story behind it, the image is there. And imagine her fingers being described as nimble at 94 is crazy to me.
Yeah.
94 years old, still nimble fingers, and still doing something that helps people out. She sounds like a lovely woman.
Those women too. I mean, that's kind of the reason I feel like is what really kicked off like modern feminism and us, you know, we want to be equals in the workforce, because when all the men returned home to take their jobs back again, we were all like, actually we can do stuff now. We turns out we can
us
do these badass
do
jobs.
Stuff now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. But so I just feel like these women definitely paved the way for perhaps where I'm sitting now. Who knows? Could I be talking about tits out on the beach this weekend on a podcast event, you know? So
absolutely not. I think if you have connection to Miss Cryer, please hit us up. I would love to interview her and have her on the pod to tell her story from the first person. I think that would be great. She seems like a lovely lady. I mean, honestly, even if it's not to do a full out interview, even if it's just for us to go there and just drink a whiskey, I think she would get off the lawnmower. We'd have a whiskey and she could tell us some tales.
So
let's move on to round three.
I just looked up out of curiosity Rosie the Riveter because I wanted to see if it was an actual person, because when you initially told the story, I thought it was her. Mm-hmm. But it was actually inspired by a woman. And what I was going to say was the Rosie the Riveter poster, dare I say, she was a very attractive lady in the poster. Mm-hmm. And the actual lady, she just died 2 years ago. And they're showing a more recent photo of them. And she's still, older.
That's what's
lady,
important
still
here,
amazing.
Cons.
Yeah, I'm glad we circled back on that.
No, that's Kyle. Cut that. I was just saying that for our own.
No, yeah.
No, don't cut it.
No, there's
classic cons.
Classic cons. Horny cons, back at it again. He's nice also back lady. At it again with Wiener Wednesday cons is because we have Feltman's coming up on the pod. Another good deal for them. Yeah. Feltman's of Coney Island, which is right next to the beach Kate was talking about, is the world's first hot dog brand that was established in 1867. It's veteran run and the Gold Star family business revived in 2015. The founders revived the brand in honor of their late brother Jimmy, who was tragically killed on September 11th. The majority of the company has served in the U.S. military, including three of Khan's fellow West Point grads. The Feltman's team is combined with 60 years in uniform, 113 months deployed, and they feature 100% natural all-beef hot dogs that are nitrate-free and safely vacuumed, sealed in a plastic to stay fresh up to 60 days in the refrigerator. That's huge, because sometimes you don't want to just smash through like 19 hot dogs in a row. Sometimes you want to space it out, and this allows you to do that. 60 days is great, especially not having any of those crazy added chemicals and things like that. They're perfect for the summer at home barbecue or socially distant cookouts, or just crushing them on Instagram so you get retweeted and get a little clout. Nobody ever hated clout. Go to feltmansofconeyisland.com. Service members, veterans, and first responders are all going to receive 10% off with ID.me at checkout. If you haven't done that and you're a veteran, you're missing out because there is a lot of good deals that come out through ID.me. So make sure that you go sign up for that. Just verify a couple information about yourself, and then you can get discounts through a lot of different websites, not just ours and not just Feltman's, but a lot. So that's worth it just for that. Feltmansofconeyisland.com. Tag ZBT and Feltman's Experience on Instagram at Feltman's Coney Island. You're going to love the way those hot dogs taste. There's nothing like a wiener shoved down your throat.
True.
All right, let's move on to round. What round are we on? Round three?
Round three.
All right, round number three. This story was making the rounds this weekend on social media. I think the number is up to 60 right now, but we're recording in the morning on Monday, so that number is surely to go up. Have suffered minor injuries in an explosion on fire. Explosion is fire, chap, you fucking idiot. Sunday on a naval ship that was stationed outside of San Diego. The blaze was reported before 9 a.m., and the USS Bonham Richard, is that how you say it? Bonham?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, nailed it. Bonham Richard. I always get confused whenever they throw that E in there at the end. It's like Jake DeLome. You never really know how to say it. Dollum? Mm-hmm. Is it Dollum? Is it Gollum? Is it Dollum? It's Bonham. Bonham Richard, said Mike Rainey, who is a spokesman for the Naval Surface Force, the U.S. Pacific Fleet. 17 sailors and 4 civilians were hospitalized. Again, that number has gone up.
It's 57 as of now.
57 right now. So none of them are life-threatening injuries. The cause of the fire is under investigation, and it wasn't immediately known whether the 840-foot amphibious assault vessel, the blast had occurred and the fire occurred. They weren't sure what actually caused the fire to take place. Has that changed now? Do you guys know?
No, they still don't exactly
I still don't
know.
Think they know.
No, they don't know.
They know that it was the deep V, the lower cargo hold, is where they believe that it started. So the fire actually began under the waterline of the ship. So, but they're still not quite sure why.
And I was reading earlier in an article about this that they expect this ship to continue burning. They don't expect it to be able to even put it out. That they said the only thing that'll be left is the water lines whenever they're done. That, to me, is crazy. Thinking that with all the different resources in San Diego, of all places, like military town USA, that you don't have the ability to put that fire out is wild.
Well, they have a ton of research sources, and right now they have 2 separate helicopters working on it. They have both the San Diego Fire Department and naval and other military bases, the firefighters from those bases there. They have a ton of resources, but ship fires are so unique and so incredibly hard to contain once they get started, because there's so many things. I started reading up on it. And you have to account for how much water weight are you putting onto the ship, because you're pouring water into the ship. And then there's the steam. If it's certain temperatures, it creates this steam that's like super heated. I saw that the dock next to the ship was catching on fire from the so they can't even get close to it like they'd want to, because the amount of heat coming out of it is catching. They had to move other ships away from it so they didn't catch fire. So yeah, it's
and not the
crazy.
Same thing, but I've talked to people whenever I was in Pearl Harbor. I remember reading about that, and obviously a very different circumstance. But the fires underneath the ground level of the ship or the deck, that whenever Pearl Harbor was happening, that people who were running across the deck, their shoes, their boots were melting because the temperature of the deck was so hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My knowledge of the Navy really just comes from whatever movies I've watched over the years, because God forbid I actually learn anything about the Navy. But I was just recently watching Crimson Tide, and you remember in the movie there was a fire in the galley, and credit to Denzel, he just ran through the fire, hit that little button, and the kind of CO2 fire extinguishers, there's not fire extinguishers just like throughout the ship.
Well, I think there's like at a certain point a fire is just too powerful for the little sprinklers kind of thing. And it sounds like at some point there was an explosion that they believe was a backdraft kind of explosion just from the pressure and the heat and everything shifting. The good news, ammunition normally carried aboard this ship was unloaded as part of the like standard safety shit. Like when you're in port undergoing work, they take it all off. And there's roughly 1 million gallons of fuel on it, but they're keeping it isolated from wherever the rest of the fire is. But I saw the top tower, one of the top towers of the ship.
1 million gallons.
Yeah, has collapsed. And now they're worried about the smoke is going across the area. I was looking at local tweets in San Diego, and everybody's complaining about the smell of the smoke from the ship, and I'm sure whatever's in that smoke, not fantastic. But I also...
No one else, chaps, I'm sorry.
No.
The fact that, you know, they're just like, yeah, this is just going to keep going. There's nothing we can do about it. There's no contingency plan. We're just going to let, a ship that takes hundreds of millions of dollars of money to build, we're just going to let that go?
I
would say that's probably in the billions, right?
Probably. It's expensive either way. So the fact that they're just like, yeah, it's just going to burn. Nothing we can do about it.
And they got super lucky. Crazy to me. They did get lucky. I mean, all those 60 people, getting burned is just such a terrible way to get injured. And obviously, we're thinking about those people that have been hurt.
There was only
very fortunate that there was normally 1,000 people on that boat, right?
Yeah, they can carry over 1,000 people. It was smoke inhalation and heat exhaustion were the injuries. Nobody got burned. So there's no burns or anything, and only 5 people are still in the hospital. So 57 injuries, but from heat, the heat is so extreme and from the smoke. So not fun still, but there's no horrific burns or anything like that, and all the Navy personnel are accounted for. But I was reading, too, it's also really hard for morale, and a lot of veterans were speaking about their time on that ship and their memories on it. And it's just really sad for them to see this happening at the same time, too. So I'm sure, people really get attached to the ships they served on and stuff. So
well, this group is part of, their sister ship is the USS Fitzgerald, I believe, that I saw that. So a lot of shit has been going on with this different unit for a while. And that would be terrible. I thought another strange thing about this story I saw, there's a guy named Craig Hooper, who works for Forbes. He had a pretty damning article right away that was published by Forbes. And he said, while the extent of the damage is unknown, the fire has been intense enough to buckle structural steel and melt the tires of vehicles parked on the flight deck. Given the extent of the damage, the ship will, at minimum, be out of service for years and will be written off as a total loss. He goes on to say, while the cause of the fire is under investigation, we already know that shipyard fires are a serious problem for the U.S. Navy right now. Multiple fires have broken out in U.S. Navy ships undergoing maintenance over the past several months, and rather than make changes, the U.S. Navy seems to have chosen to ignore the problem, happier to gloat and point fingers at shipyard fires nearly sank Russia's Admiral Whatever in 2019 and one of China's new Type 075 big-deck amphibious assault ships earlier this year. The U.S. Navy's failure to act, even after several warnings and close calls, is inexplicable and inexcusable. But despite multiple warnings over the past year, the U.S. Navy evidently still has a serious problem with shipyard maintenance. While the Navy has worked to reset training for the ship after handling 2 fatal incidents in 2017, the Navy has taken arguably greater material loss to avoid shipyard accidents since 2012 and has exhibited little energy in remedying it. As the prize line asset as of this writing, settling, this is where it gets really intense, settling by the bow, weighed down by a water pump aboard by firefighters, and the Navy is discovering a hard reality about fire safeties. Fires and accidents will keep happening until either ships sink, sailors die, or somebody somewhere in the leadership gets deadly serious about prevention. If this incident is identified by being caused by the departure from basic, simple, albeit time-consuming fire safety rules, everyone from admirals on down need to be immediately shown the door.
That's right.
A strong take, though.
He's right, though. I have to imagine the Navy has procedures in place to prevent something like this happening. So if they're just ignoring them and rolling the dice and saying, it's not that likely that a fire will break out, so we'll just ignore this, that is just a complete gross amount of negligence exhibited by this leadership, and that can't continue.
I mean, I don't know enough about it. I didn't know there was such a history of fires and stuff, but I mean, PR nightmare for the Navy. There have been a ton of mishaps and accidents and bad stuff happening for the last few I'd say for like the last decade, maybe. So I don't know if this journalist was in the military himself, and so he feels this into. But if he went through as a journalist should and like looked at the facts, and that's what he came out with, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't hate the take. It's surprising to write an article that damning before the investigation is over.
I agree.
Like, because it could be a freak accident, and then you look like an asshole for jumping down the throats of a bunch of admirals and stuff like that. You just gotta wait. Like, there's no reason to write that while there's still legitimate plumes in the air. Like, you don't have to do that then. I think you could do it after in an after action report and talk about what's going on. But he is right that the Navy has involved a shit ton of fuck-ups lately. I mean, even
the ships running into each other, these fires now, what's going on?
It's one of those things where maybe you don't notice it if it's a onesie and twosies, because those kind of things happens, but it's like the F-35. It's like, okay, when are we going to just say the F-35 is fucked up?
Yeah. Let's stop dumping money into that pit.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to round number four. Hopefully everybody's safe and they get the fire out or do whatever they need. And if it is going to be a total loss, maybe this is environmental, why not just fucking sink it? It's got to have like a plug that you can pull at the bottom.
Probably right?
It's just like a bathtub, right?
Maybe a little environmental. I don't know.
Just have fucking, what's his name, Ashton Kutcher dive in there as a rescue diver, unplug the ship, and then plug it back in. Just blow on it.
Yeah, they try blowing on it. That's a good question.
The old Nintendo rule.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. Probably copyrighted by Japan. Sad story. All right, let's move on to round number four. Round number four comes to us from The Salon. Is that how you say it? Salon?
Yeah, salon.com. Yep.
And that has nothing to do with beauty techniques.
No, surprising.
No, but it's from Roger Sullenberger, and he has some thoughts on what is going on with former guest Martha McSally. Kate, you want to walk us through that?
I sure do, begrudgingly. Arizona Republican Senator and former Air Force combat pilot Martha McSally once published an academic paper in which she said military service women should be counseled against the, and I quote, foolishness of entering into a lifetime commitment, parentheses, motherhood, to avoid deployment, and called for the Pentagon to repeal the policy that allows women to use pregnancy as an excuse to, in her words, skirt their commitment. God damn it. God fucking damn it. The article titled Women in Combat Is the Current Policy Obsolete appeared in a 2007 edition of the Duke Journal of Gender Law and Policy. At the time, McSally was the first female combat pilot in U.S. history and the first ever losing Senate candidate to immediately receive a Senate seat. And she was pursuing a second graduate degree at the Air War College. And here's a clip of what we're talking about.
Some people, and it's especially the young enlisted right now, because we're not talking about this stuff, that just, you know, either they're not being responsible in their, you know, sexual activity, or they think, well, I can have a baby whenever I want, you know, and there's a few, but I'll tell you, it permeates to everywhere, and it permeates to people's attitudes about all of us who say, oh, we're coming up on a deployment and I don't want to go, I'm going to get pregnant. You know, and it's that sort of, you can't legislate that, you can't punish it, and it's very few people. I mean, I'll tell you, it's very, very few people, but it's enough to piss everybody off, and it's enough to, excuse my language, but it's enough to cause a problem so that when I walk into my unit, they'll look at every woman and go, oh, are you going to be there and be reliable when we deploy, or are you not? So we all get lumped into this, you know, problem. We also, on a case-by-case basis, allow women to get out of their commitment to the military if they become pregnant, which I think is just ludicrous. I mean, pregnancy is a temporary condition and parenthood is a permanent one. So, you know, we've got people who, you know, men and women who we need to work with to make sure they have people to take care of their children, especially single parents, you know, when they're called to deploy. But, you know, go back to the 70s where women were being kicked out and now fighting to be able to stay in. And now here we are in 2007 and we're still allowing women on a case-by-case basis. There, many times it's denied. To get out of their military commitment because they're pregnant. We got to get past this stuff. I mean, from my view, some of these issues we're talking about now, they're holdovers to the 50s and 60s sort of wear the pantyhose and, you know, get your lipstick and your M16 purse. And we got to, if we're going to go forward and take this seriously to treat people as individuals and have the most capable fighting force, we got to get rid of some of this other baggage, you know, and stop, you know, tiptoeing around some of these issues that are really affecting readiness. When women were less than 10% of the force and we had a Cold War force and we had a whole lot of people and we weren't deploying a lot, you know, you could have some of these things happening. But we don't have time or extra slot for that right now. I mean, everybody needs to be a part of the fight. You know, we're not IBM. Our job is defending the nation. It's a serious business, and you know, you do lose some of your rights when you join the military. And to, we can't legislate that, but we can certainly have an attitude to make sure that we are inculcating people with a culture of we treat each other with equal respect, we treat each other as teammates whose lives are in each other's hands, you know, we're not sexual objects to each other, you know, and we're certainly not going to get out of our commitments and use some sort of double standard in order to, you know, in order to find a loophole to get out of your service. Go, you know, go work at Walmart if you want to do that. Nothing against Walmart, but...
Now, obviously, when somebody says something like that, I think you have to look at the time, because going back to 2007, I think this comes in, this is the height of Fallujah, the height of Ramadi, the height of a bunch of different really hotbed battles, the height of Marja, really. There's a bunch of stuff that's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, not the height of Marja, I think that was 2012, nevertheless. So whenever you have these big time wars going on, I think you're going the opposite way and trying to come off as like extreme military hardo. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at it now and it just looks so, so bad in hindsight. But I do think that was a really popular thought in 2007, but that's not something that she wants to resurface now. And you just looked so tone deaf standing there. And I wish that the listeners and the readers could see she's standing there. That speech that you just heard her give, she's giving it in service alphas. Like, she's giving it in uniform with colonel chevrons on, talking about how a large portion of women in combat, of which she was the first fighter pilot in combat, that they are skirting their responsibilities as warfighters. And to me, that is yikes.
It's super yikes. And I remember that vibe that women get knocked up to avoid deployments, to avoid having to do work, that was still big time thought when I was in. I know, just being with my buddies and seeing a pregnant woman walk by in her Marine uniform and guys like with me standing there going, this fucking, of course she wants to get out of whatever. And like, that was such a common thought. And so to see another woman perpetuating it is always such a huge disappointment.
A woman with that background too.
A woman with that background too, especially. And I don't know if that's part of the, I was putting myself in her shoes, and I always try to, like, well, benefit of the doubt or whatever, like, whatever, because I'm a nut.
Because the world was different 13 years ago.
But I'm thinking for her to have fit in, because she herself was telling us stories of discrimination she faced and of guys treating her like a total shitbag. But she talked about how hard she tried to fit in. She talked about dipping. She talked about all these things she was trying to do to fit in. And I know what that feels like. I get it. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think to be part of that boys club, you'll put other women down. Like, to be part of it. And I remember, honestly, I remember almost kind of thinking it too, seeing pregnant women in them, which I know is so wrong, but I remember being like, yeah, guys, yeah, definitely. Like, but then my thoughts changed.
Well, that's like the institutional thought, right, behind it, where you have an institutional bias against women because that's what's been going on. And sometimes you don't even realize it yourself, like that you're perpetuating that stereotype.
But when I think my thoughts on that really changed was being on that female engagement team. And when it was time to get on the bus to leave for that deployment, where we all knew we were going to be outside the wire, attached to infantry units, and who knows if you're coming back or not, and seeing how many of these women were hugging their babies and hugging their toddlers and hugging their kids goodbye, like, that we should be allowed to have families and still be in the military without having to feel embarrassed about being pregnant or feel like it's a burden. If anything, if the military wants to retain more women, they should stomp out, because this idea is still prevalent. It needs to be. Needs to be stomped out.
I'll say this. It's prevalent because it does happen. I've heard it firsthand. I heard a woman say, I'm going to try to time up this pregnancy, my next pregnancy, my third child, to kind of combat when we're scheduled to deploy again. So I don't think she just plucked this from thin air. And it was just a nasty rumor that perpetuated throughout the military that she wanted to then champion. It is something.
I mean, that's
that happened.
One example that you heard, though, you know,
Kate, like, one example, and now the whole military has the same thought. Like, it is a thought that is out there. So don't say, like, it's not something that actually.
No, it's certainly
happen.
Out there. Like, she wasn't saying that. I think she did say that even in her own brain, like, whenever she would go, that she would have that. But I think that the percentage of people who actually do that versus the perception of those who do that is drastically out of whack.
The perception is probably greater than the people who actually do it. And there's probably a lot of women. Well, you can't just say that I'm wrong, but then you're right. Like, that doesn't, just because you don't.
Because you heard one woman say something.
Well, because I understand that. But you can't just then say, like, the opposite is true, because that's what you want to believe. That's not fair to me. I'm just saying, I'm giving you my experience that I heard a woman say it. So my point is that it does happen. I'm not saying that it's necessarily the overarching theme of what continues to happen in the military, and quite the opposite. She even says in the article, she was quoting another young woman who said, no, this is why I fight. I don't want to miss my deployment because I think more prevalent.
Yeah, that was Senator Ernst who went on to say that she disagreed and that basically was saying what Kate did, that there are stories. I mean, you can extrapolate and have examples of anything and point to onesies and twosies of where it happens. I don't think anybody who's served would say that nobody's ever done this. I mean, shit, we've heard stories of people cutting their hand or trying to break a bone to get out of deployment too. Does that happen? Yes. Is it the predominant idea of most women who are serving in the military to do this? No. And whenever you have somebody who's a colonel standing in front of Duke Law School that is the first woman in combat, her saying that hurts the image and it perpetuates a terrible stereotype, which you can find examples of, but it's not the predominant case.
And I'd say predominantly what the case is women having babies and then having to leave them. I know my officer was married to another woman who was an officer, and they had baby twins, and she knew when her deployment timed it out so that she had the kids, and then she left. Her parents were taking care of these babies. And I think more often than not, women are sacrificing and having to leave their children behind for these deployments because that's part of their duty, and they do it willingly because that's what they have to do. I think the military could do a much better job at helping, if they want to retain women, at understanding that, like, that's the guys don't have to worry about that. We do. So let's help women plan it out. Let's help women have a better time with this and make it an easier thing. So,
and I think we got to do it for both sides of the.
I was just gonna say, guys too. Like, I watch guys say goodbye to their children. Mm-hmm. And that's very tough for them too.
That's something that we even have like an ingrained sexist type of mindset from being like in American culture, where you have an interview with a CEO like Erica, for example. And it'll always be brought up, how do you balance the long work hours with being a mother? You don't ever get those questions for like a Bill Gates, like how does he balance being a dad and being the CEO of a Fortune 500 company? And it's like ingrained sexism on both sides of the aisle, where it's it was very difficult for me to leave my kids. I'm sure Kyle is very difficult for him to leave his children as well. And we look at that from the mother's perspective because we have this patriarchal type of society that we've had for so long. And that's something that if we achieve true equality, then we need to look at it like the dads don't want to be leaving either. I didn't want to fucking leave my kid. And I think that saying anything on regardless of gender should be a thing that the military moves past. And we're seeing some of that now that's taking place with the Army recently with their new policy, which I think is fantastic, of not including gender or pictures as far as promotions goes. I think that is the perfect decision. If you want to have true equality, remove it all. Like, don't have male, female, don't have race, don't have any of that stuff in the promotion package. Your promotion should be based on your merit and your merit alone.
My final thought on that is having, especially once again through the FET team and keeping in touch with them afterwards, because a lot of us still were in for several years after that, and talking to them and hearing that, again, that same feeling that I felt in Marines United, having to read that shit and then walk through the chow hall when hundreds of eyes are on you and you just feel like sick to your stomach. They knew that was the perception. And here they are planning their families. And this said the feeling that they got in their pregnancy uniforms walking around and just feeling like a piece of shit because they knew that was the perception. That fucking sucks. And that Senator McSally, like, that's the kind of thing that perpetuates, and I hate that because these are women serving their country incredibly honorably, and so I hope that thought goes away.
And honestly, what I just said, I feel like I just kind of all lives mattered women in the military a little bit by saying dads. I think that was I think that dads do need a little bit more focus on how they do things, but it is women by and large who are treated unfairly in the military, and I kind of all lives mattered that, not really intending to at all. So I would like to apologize for that I just put out there. That's not the take that I want to have. I think that women by and large, and we've seen it over and over again in the military, have been treated unfairly, just like Vanessa Guillen and so many others that you can count to. How dads are treated really isn't a huge issue right now comparatively. So let's move on to round number 5. Round number five, very different vibes for round number five. There's actually a dude from the Taliban. This video came out of the Taliban, and it's not often that I am complimentary of the Taliban at all, but I am complimentary of those who wear Shady Rays, because Shady Rays are the best sunglasses in the game for a low cost. You have high quality craftsmanship. It's quality shades for less expensive brands. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company, so they're not just some big corporation that overcharges for the shades or anything like that. And the craziest thing is the warranty. If you're out like Kate and you decided to go to a beach and remove your sunglasses and you lost your sunglasses on the sand, they're going to hit you back up if you lost them. Or if you're cons, you're going golfing and things got a little out of hand, you had too many transfusions and you left those on the tee box at hole number 16, they're not going to charge you for that either. You're going to get it back. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger for every single order that's placed. So far, they have donated 9.4 million meals, which is unbelievable. They have free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. It's that simple. Exclusively for our listeners, they're going to give you the best deal that they have to offer, which is the Black Friday level deal. Sorry for burping up coffee in the middle of the ad read. Oh my God. Use the promo code ZBT50 for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for the low, low price of $48. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best deals. Let's move on to round number five. The Washington Post, of all places, posted this picture this morning. And I know that whenever the Taliban or Afghanistan or insurgencies and things like that, those words are used, your mind's not supposed to go someplace sexual. Would you guys agree with that?
No, you shouldn't, because they're, by and large, you know, they have some bad people who work for them.
Yeah, the Taliban's actually bad.
Not great.
They're not a good group. Kate, would you agree?
I would agree, but you're right on the style that this fellow has going on here. It almost looks like a stylized Vogue shoot that's intended to look this way. Like, this could be a...
It really
does. Look photoshopped, like, to you guys?
He almost looks photoshopped. The guy in the front almost looks photoshopped into it. Chaps, describe what he's wearing.
All right, so this guy, he's standing there, and he looks like he's out on the edge of a remote village somewhere, which would be a perfect spot to have your photo shoot taken to go super viral, I guess. I'm actually just stalling so I can pull up the picture. Here it is. So this guy, he looks like a young, and I'm not... He looks like a young Jared Leto who is in like a role where he's going to be playing somebody in the Taliban. He's got long, flowing, beautiful, beautiful, thick hair. He's wearing a bandana kind of like you would in Karate Kid, where he has it over his hair just to make it look so perfect so it's going to stay out of his eyes for him when he's in one of those long gun battles. He's wearing a camouflage, which pattern I've never seen before, and it just looks beautiful. It looks like the green version of the old navy blue camis that were ugly, but it's done well. It looks like something that you would buy at like Forever 21 or one of the cheaper stores where you can get it for cheaper, but it's still going to be a decent quality. Just don't dry it. It's going to shrink really bad. And then he's wearing another bandana, double bandana guy, or maybe that's a shawl that he has over his shoulders. He's got his weapon, perfect weapon discipline that we see with his left hand, where he's got his finger straightened off the trigger until he's ready to fire. He just looks like a guy who is alert to, he's not alert to the dirt, but he's ready to go. Everybody around him looks great. They're just standing out there being sexy as hell in the mountains. You got another dude behind him that's wearing the longest shirt that I've ever seen and some tactical capri pants, which I would not hate if those came in. Tactical capris would be lovely.
Because how much do your legs need to breathe when you're wearing pants? Let me tell you, if you could just have some capris rocking and get that airflow up in there instead of, you know, tucked into your boots, could be a different story
altogether.
Well,
that's the reason why we have boot bands. So when you're running through your jungle with your M16, you don't get caught on, like, your shoelaces and your trousers don't get caught underneath your heel. But if you get a capri pant going, not only do you have that rule and that tactical discipline taken away, you can also breathe a little bit. And I think we can all agree that having air flowing in and around your thighs would be a welcome thing for a deployment.
I agree. If this is what they're going to be using in the coming months, years, whatever, for recruiting, you know, they're gonna be having people knocking down their door because these guys are looking pretty fresh.
Yeah, and you'll have to go. We'll post it on. We'll post it first thing in the morning. That'll be our first asset that comes out. If you haven't seen it, you got to see these guys, because I think there's eight in the group, and seven of them could get it. Seriously, they're hot. Just some hot dudes. I mean, that's me being me.
Yes.
Okay, any thoughts on these fellas?
They're hot. They've got the houndstooth scarf. They got the summertime vibes. They're in a beautiful setting. Somebody tell Vogue.
And I cannot wait. I'm starting to get it. I noticed it a little bit. Let me see if I can go closer. Can you guys see I'm getting a little salt and peppery?
Can't hear you. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm getting a little salt and peppery in my beard.
Yes.
When I have the full-out Santa beard and full-out silver hair, look out.
You should get the same outfit as this guy and see if you look cool, except for the threatening, probably, message on the hat.
Yeah, that probably is not one that we want to translate with the old Google Translator. Maybe it is. I don't think Google Translator even knows. They can make up anything. That's the beauty of it. Like, you don't even know if they're right or not.
That's true, because who am I to say that they're wrong?
Yeah. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kyle, we'll start with you today.
Just want to remind everybody to keep sending those reviews. Khan's is going to read them at the end of Friday's episode, and he has been informed to not read them ahead of time.
And so I have not.
Good. Integrity, finally. So he'll get a fresh reaction on the episode. We'll make some clips, put it on social, but keep them coming, and then after that, we'll move on to either Kate or Chaps will read, and then whoever doesn't will go last. And it's been really funny. We have really funny listeners, so appreciate it.
It's true.
Kyle.
Yeah.
I trust that they're funny. How mean are they?
Really, I mean, honestly, on a scale of 1 to 10, the meanest is maybe a 7.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay. We need to amp that up. We got those are rookie numbers. We got to get those numbers up.
Honestly, it's been a little disappointing because I expected just hate and discontent being spewed, but not really yet, so we'll see. Hopefully this bumps it up. So
the week is young.
Yeah, we got time. So That's all I got. Just keep them coming. Really appreciate the interaction.
All right, Cons, what do you got?
Two things. Cloud 9. So it actually originated as one of the classifications of cloud, which were defined by the U.S. Weather Bureau in the 1950s, in which cloud 9 denotes the fluffy cumulonimbus type that are considered...
My favorite type of cloud.
That are considered so attractive. So that's why folks would commonly say you're on cloud 9.
Very good.
Didn't know that, so there you go. And also, Chaps, what is your shirt, man?
It's just a goose.
You got a shirt? It's just a goose.
Just goose goofing.
It made me think of the goose.
The goose is on fire.
Yes, the goose is hungry. That made me think of Tom Green for a second there. And it's a green shirt with a goose on it, so think about that.
Yeah, maybe it's lovely. Aluminum. I love this shirt. I have a lot of new shirts coming in. I just ordered a bunch of new shirts, which I had refreshed my wardrobe, which I haven't done in a while, even though, because it's coronavirus season. Actually, this morning I came out. My wife usually gets up a little bit before I do, and she likes to go out in mega chair, have a coffee before everything starts to set off at like 6:30. So she gets up and has a moment to herself. I went, and normally I walk straight out of the bedroom, but today I walked into my closet, put on some pastel pink pants and a pink golf shirt, and walked out. First time I've had pants on in a long time, and I was just all pink. And she was like, "Wow, you look like a sexy little animal." I was like, "Thank you."
Wow, there you go. Yeah, I like you wearing
colorful
pants.
Getting gassed up.
There you go. You are looking like the Taliban guys.
Yeah,
that's cool.
What else, Con? Is that it?
That's all I got.
Catherine.
First of all, you all were talking about how cool the Taliban guys looked in this photo. When none of you, you know what's not cool? Being close to your buddies like this without a mask on. Not a single one of these Taliban guys, except the guy in the back with the balaclava on. Mm-hmm. He's the only one being careful here. So I think shout out to the guy in the back right for actually being safe in this photo, the only one. Two, Cons, I'm still sitting here stewing. I'm going to say, not in the same vein, but it kind of reminds me of how there's always somebody when women talk about rape and stuff like that where, well, you know, they also make it up too. They also frame people too. They also do this. It does happen, but the number, the percentage is so incredibly low. It's so incredibly low that I feel like even bringing it up, even if, yes, I'm not saying you're lying. I believe that, sure, you said this woman was having her third child. I can see if this is your third kid and you don't know how you're met, like maybe you're planning it out in a certain way. I don't know. But I just feel like, I feel like that was a weird point to bring up during that conversation. Well, no, and it,
my point was only that like Senator McSally didn't just pluck that from thin air. And I got the vibe that it was being said as if that it was just never happened. It does happen, but I agreed with both of your points that the more prevalent is that women want to do their jobs and don't plan pregnancies around appointments. What I ultimately took umbrage with was, I think because you disagreed with me, you said I was wrong, and you were right.
I didn't say you were wrong. I said it was like a shitty, weird thing to bring up during the con. I don't know. I'm still annoyed. I just want to say that as the closing
round. That's okay. You can be. I don't take offense to that.
Yeah. I just feel like it's. Ugh.
All right. So obviously, you guys aren't going to agree on that point, and I think that that's okay. I think that sometimes on this show we can have almost a one voice type of thing where a lot of times we agree or we disagree on different types of subjects. And I just like to have a reminder that we don't speak on behalf of all veterans by any means.
No.
We speak on behalf of ourselves and like what our actual opinions are as individuals, not as like a collective whole for veterans. I think that's good to have diversity of thought, even to the point of disagreeing where people are mad at each other.
I still think cons can kick rocks.
How about that concept?
I'm a custer.
So I want to say, and I know we've already had some controversial takes on this show with the Taliban, with me wanting to fuck a Taliban guy, with the pregnancy thing. I also want to come out in full support of King George II.
Why?
A huge King George II fan. If you haven't seen Hamilton on Disney Plus, it's fantastic, first of all. It's one of the best musicals here we go.
I'm just never going to see it.
I don't understand why. You watch the dumbest shit. You won't watch one of the best musicals of all time?
It's not that great.
Yeah, because
I've heard enough
people say it wasn't that great that I'm like, you know what? I just don't care to even check it out. And actually, too, if enough people are like, you got it, now I'm just not going to out of spite.
I will say I was hammered when I watched it.
Yeah, that's not fair at all, Kate. And you don't like things that a lot of people like, so I'm not surprised.
I'm on the record as saying I very much enjoy the theater.
Yeah, that's why it's bananas. Didn't you play Little Orphan Annie when you were in high school?
No, not you would probably Annie. Love it. You'd probably love it.
But I was in three musicals. That is correct.
You should definitely watch it. The musical, the way that to be well, able to write people, that, and
if people stop telling me to watch it, then maybe I'll watch it.
Same thing for the Guardian.
It's like it's like the Guardian, but with songs. It's like they took the Guardian and made it old.
I will say, then
I'm in.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, that's his name, right?
What?
I think the other way around.
Lin-Manuel. He's like
one of the most
famous people.
Yeah, I don't know. I get confused with names, Kate. You've been a co-host with me now like 200 episodes. I can't remember the name of somebody I just interviewed most of the time. So I'm watching this fella do his thing. He is by far the worst singer in the cast. Like, it's not – there's nobody else on the same stratosphere as being as bad as he is. He is a shitty singer. And his only cast is Alexander Hamilton because he wrote it, directed it, and produced it. Which, I mean, granted, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to be the lead too.
Yeah.
But everybody else, George Washington, first of all, the dude that played George Washington could get it. That guy could get it.
Yeah,
the dude who played Aaron Burr, one of the best live singers I've ever seen. The fact that they did all this in 1 week with all those takes and they just had everything going, the amount of dialogue in the show that they had to memorize before crushing it night after night after night of people paying $600, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 for a ticket to see this show. Incredible. Incredible. That being said, Lin's voice stinks. Sound the retreat.
I still don't know why you're a big King George II stan, though.
Oh, well, let me say that. Before we sound the retreat, I like King George II. If you haven't seen it, it doesn't make sense. Guy's hilarious. And the way that he moves his mouth like he's a robot whenever he's actually singing, where he looks almost like Pinocchio, where his mouth is just moving straight up and down and there's no movement anywhere else in his face except for his eyes and his mouth. Phenomenal. That dude, to me, stole the show. I was cracking up. Actually, let's play the three songs that King George III sings, or the second sings, to play us out. Here's the new retreat, King George II. Shout out to our guy Legolas, who's still in Britain.
Long time, slowly.
All right, let's go. Sound retreat.